weeks ago, we spoke about perfection, and we talked about the myth and the reality of perfection. And after the service, someone asked me, he said, awesome, we can be perfect, but the practicalities, what do we engage in? What do we need to do to be perfect? And I was like, we will look into that at some point. But what the Holy Spirit has been laying on my heart for a few weeks now, and I'm actually doing a study on it, a personal study on it, is the notion of total commitment. Total commitment. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Everlasting Father, we ask that as we go into your word, that you speak to your word, to us, that the entrance of your word will indeed illuminate our lives. We pray for understanding, Spirit of God, that you guide us through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. My prayer, my desire is that each and every one of us, as we go into this new month, today is the first day in the month of September. It's awesome to start the first day of the month in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And, you know, the joy, it's a Thanksgiving Sunday, the joy, the appreciation that we're showing to God today. I pray that as we go through the remainder of the month and the rest of the year, we'll continue to express that, a heart of gratitude. You know, where I come from, there's a prayer they always pray. They'll say that, you know, the BER months. You know, by the time you get into September, we're in the last third of the year. You know that? September, October, November, December. The last third of the year. And you become increasingly aware that the year is coming to an end. I mean, we've done more than what is left in the year. Just 4 more months and the year is over. And you think to yourself, when did the year start? When did the year start? And we're already 2/3 of the way into it. And, you know, the folks where I come from, they'll say that, you know, that none of us will pass away with the BER months. So we'll see the end of the year. We'll see the new year. We'll see many more years to the glory of God. Amen. So we're starting a new month in God's presence. That song says, I love the way you love me. During Sunday school, we talked about, you know, being prepared for the bride, a readiness for the bridegroom that is coming. We as the bride of Christ. If God loves us so much, how do we love him? How ready are we for his coming? We say it is possible for us as Christians to be perfect, to walk before God and be perfect. But what does it take to do that? How committed are we to the Lord? There's a passage that, you know, there are quite a number of instances in the scriptures that talks about people being committed, that talks about, you know, worshiping God, serving him faithfully and wholeheartedly. And when I think about commitment, if you commit to something, you give yourself to that thing. You're pretty much saying, no matter what, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to stand by this and I'm going to stick to it. That is how we think about commitment. If I may ask, I'm sure there are many of us that we have certain things we're committed to. I know the things we're committed to, we don't joke with it. We don't joke with it. Some years back, I think when our boys were in primary school, we had to travel outside the country, and it meant them missing a few days of school. You know that these boys did not want to travel. They did not want to travel because they were going to miss a few days of school. And what that meant was that they were not going to have 100% attendance. And that was the problem. that they were going to miss out on the 100% attendance in school. For me, that is commitment. That is commitment, so that, you know what? I miss one day, that means it's no longer 100%. And each and every one of us, we're committed to something. But you know, when you now put total commitment, when you put the word total to commitment, you're saying absolute. You're saying absolute. So what are you absolutely committed to? What are you absolutely committed to? You know, some folks, they're absolutely committed to sports. They spend like 8 hours. This is no joke. They spend at least 8 hours a day training for their sport. True or false? I've got a young teenager that I'm beginning to wonder, his commitment to fitness. I wish I could be like him, but there's a time and a season for everything, you know. He's, you know, constantly, even when he's doing other things, you see, he's jogging, his ex, and I'm thinking, okay, it's paying off. It tells. I was reading about a lady that, I think there was the rowing championship recently. She's a medical doctor. You know how busy these guys are. She still finds time. First thing in the morning, she's in the gym, training. From there, she goes to do a ward, whatever. She's back in the gym in the evening. It's almost every spare moment in the gym because she's committed to her training, to her sport activity. As Christians, what are we committed to? And what should be our primary commitment? We're talking about total commitment. I think for some of us, we're committed to certain things, and we do well, we excel in those things. And then when it comes to other things, thank God for all of us that are sitting here. For those of you that are working, can you just decide, you know what, I'm not going to work today. Nah. Or maybe you do it one day. I've seen folks, apparently, you know, when the things like the World Cup final, whether it's football or rugby or cricket, the day after, for some reason, strange reason, people always fall sick. And they take sick leave from work. But, you know, it happens. The sickness comes when England is playing in the finals. Practically, I mean, the Rugby World Cup is going to start and it's in Japan. It's going to be, you know, the distance. So they're going to be playing possibly when it might be our late night, midnight type. You'll see that a lot of people are going to have strange illnesses coming upon them and not showing up at work the day after matches. I have a colleague that he supports a football team and he travels with them. So all the away games, he goes. That is commitment. It takes time off work to do that. It actually takes time off. So they're playing in Europe somewhere, he goes. And it's a lot of money. It's not like anybody is sponsoring those trips. That is commitment. As a Christian, what are you committed to? I just quickly want to share from the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know, I look at the characters that the book of Timothy was written by. Who wrote the book of Timothy? Children, do you know who wrote the book of Timothy? It's a letter. A letter written to Timothy. Do we know who wrote that letter? I know you know. Do we? Do you? The letter written to Timothy was written by who? Paul. The Apostle Paul wrote, you know, we call them epistles, letters. He wrote quite a number of letters in the Bible, in the New Testament, to the church in Corinth, to the church in Ephesus, to the Romans, to who else? Timothy, to Titus, to the church in Ephesus, to the church in Colossae, the church in Galatia. He wrote quite a number. The church in Thessalonica, right? He wrote quite a number of letters. He wrote a letter to Timothy. And the kind of relationship Paul had with Timothy was pretty much a father-son relationship, all right? So Timothy was like Paul's son. It was like Paul's son. And this is one of the letters he wrote to him. We're just going to read from chapter 3. So I read from, actually I'll read from verse 3. Sorry, let me just, my apologies, 2 Timothy chapter 1 from verse 3. So 2 Timothy 1 from verse 3. And this is what Paul had to say to Timothy. Said Timothy, I thank God, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did. Night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted, and I will be filled with joy when we are together again. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice. And I know that the same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either. Even though I'm in prison for him, with the strength God gave you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. And now he has made all of this plan to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news. And God chose me to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of this good news. This is why I am suffering here in prison, but I am not ashamed of it. I love this phrase. It says, for I know the one in whom I trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard that which is entrusted to him until the day of his return. For I know the one in whom I trust. Some version says, for I know in him in whom I believe, and I am persuaded. I am persuaded. I trust. I am sure that he is able to guard that which is entrusted to him, that which has been given to him, until the day of his return. I am fully persuaded that the one I believe in, the one I believe in, is able to keep me till his return. I know he's coming back, and I'm committed to doing certain things. It's not by my strength. He's going to help me. I'm persuaded, I'm convinced that he's going to, you know, he's coming back, and when he comes back, he's going to keep me. Praise the Lord. Verse 13 says, hold on to the pattern of the awesome teaching you learned from me, a pattern shaped by the faith and love that you have in Christ Jesus. And verse 14, the last verse, says, through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. Praise the Lord. I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded. There is a strength of conviction with which Paul made that statement. How well do you know the person you believe in? How well are you convinced about the person you believe in? And if you're convinced about the person you believe in, how committed are you to him? Paul was, you know, there was beyond a shadow of doubt. He believed, he was sold out on Jesus Christ. And he was committed to him. And this was what he was sharing with Timothy. You know, it's the same Paul that, you know, wrote to the people in Philippi and said that, we love that verse, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You know, the Amplified Version says, for my determined purpose is that I may continually know him. So he had a determination to be on the side of Christ. How determined are we? We're talking about total committed. So total commitment. Are you totally committed to your Christian faith? Are you totally committed to your relationship with God? I think that is my charge to us this morning. And as we go, you know, into the month of September, whatever it will take, that we will not waver, we will not shake, we will stand firm. Through the scriptures, we see instances of total commitment. We see instances of wholehearted devotion. And they have their rewards. By the grace of God, we'll explore them in more depth. They have their rewards. And that is what God expects of us. But even from this passage, there are at least 6 points that we can take home from this passage that kind of give an indication of, you know, what Paul and Timothy might have done to be totally committed to Christ. The first one is in the same verse 3. You know, it says, the God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did, night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Paul was committed to intercession. As a believer, he was committed to praying. I mean, we've in this church, we've talked about it many times. It's not how long you pray that's the key. But are you communicating with your Father? Or is it just reeling out words? Paul was committed to praying for others. How many people, you call yourself a Christian, you've been a Christian for a while, how many people do you pray for? Aside from yourself, I pray that you're praying for yourself. Because if you're not praying for yourself, that's a different problem entirely. But how many people do you actually pray for? Sometimes the Holy Spirit might lay someone's name in your heart. Do you take time to pray for that person? You know, your mind flashes to someone. Do you say a word for them, you know, a word of prayer concerning them? Secondly, say we need to be strong and perpetual in our faith. We need to be strong and perpetual in our faith. Verse 5, it says, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that the same faith continues strong in you. Thank God for a generation of parents that have known Christ. I read that verse and I thought about my own grandmother and my mother. Funny enough, they both had English names. They never gave me an English name. So my grandmother was Mary. She died at the age of, I think she was 91 when she died. And every time I remember my grandmother, this was in the early 90s, the phrase that comes to mind is, you children, fear the Lord and keep his commandments. It was almost, ìbẹ̀rù ọlọ́run kì í pọ̀ fún ẹ mọ́. That's how she says it. And it's, you know, it's ingrained in me. You children, fear the Lord and keep his commandments. That was always repeating. You children, fear the Lord and keep his commandments. My mother, okay, so we had Mary, we had Alice. Thank God for Mary and Alice. Alice, you think that it's only the Psalms. That as a kid, we didn't know that there were other books in the Bible. Because we learned Psalms, you recite Psalms. That's why most of the Psalms, I don't know it in English. Pardon me. Sometimes I have to translate in Yoruba first before I can get the English meaning. Because I had to learn it in Yoruba. Praise the Lord. But they sowed a seed. They're no longer here. I still remember the seed they sowed. Why is it that I think, you know, it's important to fear the Lord? Because right from when I was young, my grandmother died at the age when I was 19, I was thereabouts. And I'm still remembering her words, fear God, keep his commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. The woman could not read, yet she knew, man, she could quote scriptures. I think that was divine intervention. The Holy Spirit must have been teaching her. But she will quote, and yet she couldn't read. Yeah, wow. Yeah, Mike, she was an illiterate, yeah. But the faith, what faith are we instilling in our children? What faith are we instilling in our children's children? So, grandparents, what will your grandchildren remember you for? What will they remember about you? Parents, when you're no longer around, if Christ tarries, what will your children remember about you? Is it the kicks you're always buying for them? Now I'm trying to sound like I know what I'm talking about. Kicks are right. Trainers, right? Okay, yeah. So I got it right. So is it the kicks you're buying for them? Or is it the designer clothes that they're going to remember you for? The faith that was in Louis, that was in Eunice, was in Timothy. Because it was passed on. And Timothy kept that faith. How well are we doing in sharing the faith? How well are we doing in communicating the faith to our future generations? Thirdly, verse 6, it says, this is why I remind you to fan into flame the spiritual gifts God gave you. If we're going to be totally committed to God, we need to exhibit the gifts that he has given us, our spiritual gifts. Praise the Lord. It says, yeah, by the laying of hands. What gifts has God given you? How are you using the gifts God has given you? There's none of us here that profess to be children of God that God has not gifted something. What are you doing with the gifts God has given you? How are you exercising those gifts? How are you exhibiting it? Are you just sitting down and, oh yes, you know, I'm okay on my own? God expects more from us. We need to exercise the spiritual gifts he's given us. And verse 8, it says, never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. Never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And that's my fourth point, sharing about the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, never be ashamed to tell others. It's the same Paul that said in Romans 1:16 that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it's the power of God unto salvation. Do we share about the Lord Jesus Christ? If God meant for us to be saved and that's it, then he might as well just have saved us and taken us away to be with him. What's the point of staying in this world? Are we sharing with others? Do people even know? If we don't open our mouths, some of us will say that our lives preach Christ. Let more than your life, let more than your actions preach Christ. So, not just what you do. It's all well and good that what you do, people see what you're doing and they say, oh, wow, there's something about you. But open your mouth, talk to people, talk about our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. The fifth point. We've all heard of fair weather friends, right? We've all heard of fair weather friends. So when things are going well, you know, they're there for you. That was it. I was watching a program, one of my sons, and this guy, for some reason, he got millions of dollars. And all of a sudden, from nowhere, all manners of friends, totally, you know, supporting him and encouraging him. And they'll be like, you've still got your money, right? Yeah. Oh, you know what? Whatever you say is all right. And once the money vanished, the friends vanished. And that's when you now saw the true friends. As Christians, are we fair weather friends to Christ? Growing up, there's a song we used to sing. Nina banjo, emio tele Jesu, bojo banro, emio tele Jesu. Nina banjo, bojo ro, emio tele. Hey! Can you see? They're flowing. What does that mean? It says that if there's a fire, I'll follow Jesus. If it's raining, I'll follow Jesus. Whether rain or shine, fire, storm, whatever, I will follow Christ. You know, just hold on. I'll follow you to the end. I remember when I was in the university, we had a prayer meeting, and it started raining, and nobody showed up. And I thought to myself, I said, in our prayer fellowship, you know, we sing that song a lot. And I was thinking, we're always singing if it's raining, if it's, and now it's raining, nobody's showing up for prayer meeting. When tough times come, when hard times come, are we still holding on to Christ? Are we still holding on to the faith we believe? Because that is a sign of commitment. It's not when things are just good that you hold on to him. That verse 8 says, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. How many of us are ready to suffer for the sake of the good news? If it's all well and good, and that's the message some people want to hear now, is it's all good. If it's all good, they'll worship God. But when the hard times come, are you still going to be there? Are you still going to hold on to the faith you profess? And finally, in verse 13, Paul said, hold on to the pattern of awesome teaching you have learned from me. Awesome teaching. Are we upholding the wholesome teaching? Or are we manipulating the word of God to suit ourselves? His word does not change. What he has said, he will bring to pass. What he has said, he will back. Do we hold on to his word? Are we totally committed to him? There's a difference between commitment and total commitment. Are you absolutely sold out to Jesus Christ? So what I'm saying is, if you're, whatever sphere of your life, in your workplace, are you sold out to Christ? In church, are you sold out for him? In school, are you sold out for him? When you do your sports, are you sold out to him? When you relate with your children, are you sold out to Him? When you relate with your peers, are you sold out for Him? And does it come out? Is it evident? My challenge to us this month, as we go through this month, is for us to be totally committed to Him. Shall we rise to pray?